Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another month of Movie Monthlies here on the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking all the month's movie news, entertainment news, and just generally having a bit of a chit-chat about everything to do with film. As always, I am joined by my best pal in the new year, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Connor. I was going to say we haven't done one of these in a year. It was last year that we did one of these.
You're one of those, are you?
Oh, okay, that's my favourite joke. It's so good.
People at work ask me what I did over the Christmas. The answer is not a...
quiet one. Yeah, yeah. Sure, nice.
It's dark soon, isn't it?
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Early.
Oh, shame is not longer, huh? Anyway, back to it now.
Anyway, sure, look, I'll talk to you after.
Yeah, go on. 18 times I've had that conversation.
So this is Movie Monthlies. This used to be a weekly show called Movie Mondays, and then it got stretched because movies kind of stopped producing news due to the fact of all the strikes. Thankfully, we stopped just before that, and now
we were burnt out as people.
We also just try and cover all of the previous last 30 days news, so that encompasses all December. Now, the main thing that we're going to get into first of all is that I want to give everyone a massive thank you, Sean, because we reached... and are now over 100 five-star reviews on Spotify.
By God, we never thought we could do it, folks.
We set out the goal in November, I think it was, before the end of the year, 100 5 stars. January 3rd, so we were 3 days off. I'm going to forgive everyone for that.
We were
on 99 or 98, I think, on New Year's Eve, so close enough.
So that's what you spent your New Year's Eve doing, was watching the ratings on
just
Spotify.
Staring at it. Everyone crying around me.
Everyone else is counting down, and you're just like, 98, 98.
Screaming. I was at a birthday party at the time. We wanted to give everyone a massive thank you. Thank you so much. We're over that number now. It's onwards. Next up next year, 500. We'll just aim higher.
Taper back, man.
2,000 by the end of this month.
110.
But yeah, thank you very much for everyone for that, and also thank you to everyone who showed up to our live listener hangout that happened a few weeks ago before Christmas.
Yeah.
Or no, it was after Christmas. It was our
29th.
New Year's hangout.
Yeah.
And on that show, we talked about the best of 2023 and what was coming up in 2024. But what we will still touch on a lot of that now, because that was kind of just Patreon chat exclusive stuff. But we can just talk about generally a bit more, just an overall view of what's to come probably in this year.
Yeah, 100%. Also, sorry, just those Patreon chats. They're actually really, genuinely really fun. I really enjoy them.
Yeah.
It's just shooting the shit.
Still waiting
people.
For some dickhead to join, but everyone seems nice. It's weird.
Hey.
What are the odds?
Look, what can you do?
We're about to get one eventually.
But until that day, they're a lot of fun.
You're all great.
All great.
But Sean, Movie Monthlies, we've got to start with... I debated whether we needed to talk about this, but we do need to talk about this because it has knock-on effects to other things. Now, we have been avoiding this topic for many, many months.
Yes. And it's a difficult topic to talk around, but there is a ruling that has been made.
Exactly. And this is for a certain big villain in a certain big movie franchise that's, I don't know, maybe has around 32 movies so
far. Kang. It's the Kang. So Kang is no longer the... Jonathan Majors, bad dude.
Jonathan Majors has been gotten... he is out as Kang in the Marvel Universe, the MCU, all of that stuff. This is leading on from the fact that obviously earlier last year he was accused, they went to court, and he has been found guilty of 2 charges. So... Marvel have gotten rid of Jonathan Majors. Fair enough. Absolutely, perfectly understood, understandable. Which Now, look, normally, absolutely fine. We would just be like, yeah, real life is obviously more important. But this is just more of an interesting chat of, well, aren't they fucked now?
This is the yeah, like, it's... They've lost their... They really hung everything on Kang for this next saga, didn't they?
It's different from if Brolin had gone down, if they had Thanos, because Brolin wasn't... He was the voice of Thanos.
Yeah, he did the mocap as well, to his credit.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
You can cast around that, and you can... that. But it's like, he was front and centre, Jonathan Majors was Kang. Now... you've seen Loki season 2?
Yes.
Okay, so spoilers for that, just for this discussion, because it's going to be easier. But it feels like they knew it was coming, and
So Loki season 2 kind of, not that maybe they didn't know that it was coming, but it's also very easy to think, well, this is probably not great. We should probably go a different direction before we get the vote either way.
Yeah, like they left themselves at the end of Loki season 2 in a position where they conceivably could drop Kang, and it wouldn't be the weirdest thing in the world.
Mm.
But now, like, the guy who was set up to be the big bad and have a whole Avengers movie about him was defeated by Ant-Man and Friendship. Like, that's essentially what happened there.
Yeah, and he's just gone, okay? So, because the bigger issue is the fact that the next movie, Avengers movie, was called Avengers The Kang Dynasty.
Now just called Avengers 5.
Now it has been changed to Avengers 5. Now, previously to that, it also lost its director, Destin Daniel Cretton, who was down to direct Kang the Kang Dynasty. So it had Avengers The Kang Dynasty... Destin Daniel Cretton was down to direct it, and then he left, and now the name has been changed, and also Kang is no longer in the movie.
Yeah, so it's like any amount of pre-production, which I don't know how much was done on that, because it feels like
it was
like
meant to come out in 2026.
Still, I don't know.
There's going to be a massive delay on that. It is not coming out in 2026 anymore.
Not a chance. Like, I think... The idea of that coming out in 2026 is worse than it never coming out, because it would just be this rushed mess of a movie, which they all have kind of been for a little while, apart from Guardians 3, which is phenomenal.
It's the only thing where they always seem rushed, but nobody's rushing them.
Yeah. Like, we would wait. We've waited for these before.
And at this point, with the vibe that's going around, people will wait a long time. Maybe a break is good.
Yeah. Like, I still haven't seen The Marvels, but that's like, I can't imagine it was that good.
Well, I also don't think it was bad.
I think it's
around the same level of everything.
But I think it's finally like, I'm tired of this. I'm not tired of superheroes. I love, like, give me the Batman 2 any day of the week. Oof. But. The productions that have been put out so far, apart from Guardians 3, have just been exhausting to watch, and I don't want to keep up with them anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, the question now becomes, because of all this, and I don't really want to talk about Jonathan Majors too much, but the role of Kang.
Yes.
The Kang role, do you, and this is my question to you, Sean, do you continue on using Kang, or... do you go the opposite direction to Doctor Doom? Now, you can recast Kang.
Can recast
Kang. And say Loki has changed the timeline and this person was always Kang, but it got changed somehow. Or you go the different direction to Doom.
I don't want Doom now. I don't want Doom this early.
Although Doom... I actually don't really... You know what? I'm in this weird position now where this whole universe, like, I don't want the characters I like to show up. I'm like, yeah, let's just keep the fine ones. It's grand.
Yeah.
Let's just keep doing that.
Don't give me any fan favourites. Don't give me the Sentry in this version of the universe.
It would be very similar to if they were like, Dick Grayson is joining the DCEU and he's coming in alongside that whole universe with Zack Snyder. I'd be like... I love Nightwing, but I don't want him involved if the car is already on fire.
You know who I love? Taskmaster.
You had that with Taskmaster.
I've been burned, ladies and gentlemen.
You've already been burned. But yeah, the thing is, like, if you loved some characters, if you can kind of see the direction it's going, maybe you think, okay, well, Maybe don't show this person, because then you're kind of leaving a sour taste for 10 years from now when we inevitably reboot everything.
This is the thing, and I feel like Secret Wars is their reboot. Like, that's when a bunch of shit's just going to happen. So, I think you just have to get there in a decent amount of time. Don't rush it. But then you're just using Secret Wars in the same way that DC used Flashpoint, which is just an excuse and like a get-out-of-jail-free card that still didn't pay off for them, to be fair.
No, they somehow fumbled the get-out-of-jail-free card as well.
Yeah, to the point where the DCU, it's just something new, we're just starting over.
Yeah, it was so bad as a restart that they were like, yeah, forget that one even exists, actually.
Yeah, just we're done. We're done with it. Aquaman is going to come out.
Aquaman no. 2 already came out, lad.
Yeah, like who? Oh, why though? Who cares?
Momoa's like, I just want to play Lobo, leave me alone.
Just let me be Lobo. Which is like, I don't think you should recast Kang. I think you should do, what are the next Marvel projects that are coming up?
Oh, Lord.
I used to know this shit off the back of my hand.
I was literally just about to say, I used to know, this movie's coming out, and then this movie's coming out. And now I don't actively go out of my way to find that information out, which is kind of scary. And a bit sad.
Christ alive. Okay.
What's next?
So we have What If, which has just come out. What If season
fine.
2.
Okay, fine.
I've watched the first episode, it's fine. Echo, which is coming out next week.
The greatest thing of all time. Okay, we are obviously...
We're diehard Echo fans.
We're diehard Echo. I have Echo posters all around this room.
Has a TV MA rating, though. So that could be a turning point for Marvel.
Don't let them drag you in because one person says fuck, please.
Fuck Batman. Then you got Deadpool 3, July 26, 2024. I imagine some big steps are going to be made there towards...
I think Deadpool will be really big for audiences. I think audiences will really like Deadpool 3. Personally, I actually don't really care, but I also am in a position where I can understand people are like, oh, Hugh Jackman's coming back. People love Hugh Jackman. I like Hugh Jackman. But I wouldn't say I'm like, he's not like a massive draw for me to go see this movie.
No, and I think, apparently like there's some level of multiverse stuff happening in Deadpool 3.
Yeah, they're going to bring back, I would assume, Elektra. They're going to bring back probably Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
Dude, if they get Ben
Affleck's
Daredevil, I am on board. I think that's hilarious.
I will only accept Ben Affleck's Daredevil, and I will go see the movie. I will go see four times if Evanescence's team song kicks in when we see Ben Affleck.
It has to happen. And then you got, there's a bunch of animated stuff. Well, sorry, you got Agatha Darkhold Diaries.
Okay.
That's coming out in fall.
That's a reason to never go see anything.
X-Men 97 animated series. Interesting that comes out after Deadpool 3, where I imagine a lot of X-Men stuff is going to be like more focused on. Then you got Eyes of Wakanda, which is a series. Captain America Brave New World in February 2015. Then Fantastic Four. Then Thunderbolts. Then Blade, but that's not fucking coming out in 2025.
Yeah, and the Thunderbolts lost the Sentry as well, I think.
Yeah, Steven Yeun, apparently.
He's not in it anymore.
Scheduling conflicts or something like that.
Yeah.
Then you had Kang Dynasty and then Secret Wars.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Then like some Spider-Man's, next Shang-Chi, Armor Wars.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Is it done? Are we done? Not on the show.
There'll always be good movies to talk about.
Yeah, but I mean, Dune is coming out in 3 months.
100%, yeah. But I can totally see... I feel there's a lot of legwork, and there's a lot riding on Deadpool 3.
They're really banking on Deadpool 3.
Because if that's shit, then...
But I think even if Deadpool 3 is great, it's Deadpool 3. It's not like a new character that so excited to see where this goes.
But I think that's their opportunity to be like, here are all the pieces and here's where they are now. Like what we were saying about Kevin Feige in his office just drawing it on a whiteboard and explaining
it. Smoke a cigarette.
It.
Big cigarette smoke vibe.
Deadpool is the opportunity to do that, I feel.
Mm.
To just let him just be like, here's what's happening. This is all you need to know. And then that's it. It's an in-universe
explanation. And then who's the big bad of the big movie?
You could do... Ah, fuck. It's tough. I don't want Doom. I don't want...
I think they're just recasting Kang. I think that's what they're going to do.
No, I think they're done with Kang.
It's too far gone, lad. They have to do Kang.
I think you keep it as Kang Dynasty if you're recasting Kang.
No, I think... No, you leave it as Kang Dynasty if Jonathan Majors is still in it. But if you take Jonathan Majors out, you can still have Kang in it, but he's not as big of a draw.
But when they announce Avengers Council of Kangs...
Mm.
Like, that's... I think Kang as a character is too tainted now.
I think either they do Kang recast, they do Loki, which I don't think they'll do. They might. They might break the Tom Hiddleston glass. Or they go Doom. I think there are the three options.
I don't know. I don't know anything that could save this.
I think at this point we're just scrambling. We're scrambling big time for something. We need a big bad for an Avengers team.
Yeah. You have Annihilus. That's an option. But again, that's a lot of legwork to introduce.
You have to build up whoever it is. If you're going to introduce someone new, you got like three movies.
There is the Beyonder. So, okay, hear me out here. The Beyonder works outside of the universe, just starts fucking with things. That's what he does. That's why things have been getting all weird and messy recently. The Avengers team up to fight the Beyonder, and then someone, not saying who, probably not Doctor Doom, but it probably will be, steals the power of the Beyonder like in Secret Wars.
But I think they're just going to do that plot in Secret Wars.
But that's the thing, that like Avengers 5 ends with Doom killing the Beyonder.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, I don't think that, like, if you're doing Doom, that's how you do Doom. Like, and then just do his biggest story right away, who gives a shit?
I think they're just going to recast Kang and they're going to just say nothing.
Well, we shall find out in 2025, Connor.
We probably won't.
No.
Moving on, Sean, I want to move on from that because I have some exciting news for you. This is one of those, every month, I find a news story that really cheers me up, really warms my cockles, if you will.
Okay,
and it might, I don't know, perhaps slightly irk some other people.
Right, what's
on the
getting
podcast.
Remade? What
Die Hard prequel with young John McClane is in development, Sean.
Why not just make a movie? Die Hard is a young John McClane. How old is John McClane in Die Hard? He's like 30?
I assume he's like 35.
John McClane, Die Hard.
Maybe 30
one.
To 35, somewhere around there.
Yeah, like he's divorced and with two kids.
Yeah, but he's still like young.
John McClane. He was born in 1955. And then the Nakatomi Plaza building was 1988. So he was 33.
Yeah, okay.
So they're just going to wind it back 7 years to where his marriage is breaking down? Is that what happens?
No, because the marriage doesn't break down until like 6 months before the movie takes place. Because she only moved out there 6 months ago or like a year ago.
That's true. But that's the biggest thing. The reason Die Hard is
why,
cool.
Could you just tell me why? What makes Die Hard, what makes John McClane as a protagonist, such a good protagonist in the first Die Hard?
He's an everyman.
He's like the best everyman. He's one of the best everymans in any movie ever.
Yeah, and he just rises to the occasion. And he's got nothing but his wits to take on 12 fucking terrorists in this skyscraper.
Yeah.
And Al Powell.
The best bit, right? And look, we don't want to talk, just review Die Hard, but Die Hard is obviously one of the best movies like of all time. Like, it's one of the best action movies ever. And it works because it's this perfect blend of, like, John McClane, he's good enough, but, like, he's also not invincible in any way.
No, and he gets fucked up throughout the course of
like
this
movie. One of the best scenes in the whole movie is him picking the glass out of his feet and he's nearly in tears on the phone. And he's just like, and you're like, oh, this guy is like dying.
He is hurt. Like he goes, like his heroic like reveal at the end. And he's like, he steps out and he's covered in blood and he's holding the gun. And he's dragging his leg behind him because he's just bet.
Whereas, like, that's the opposite now, where, like, you have the Expendables and stuff, where they just are never harmed. And they're all trying to capture that magic. But, like, I don't think Arnie and ever... Like, Arnie and Sylvester never really got that vibe of, like, you have to be weak to, like, overcome it.
Yeah.
And the whole point is that he's not prepared for whatever this is. So, does the movie start... This prequel, is it just based off the fact that, like, he's in a loveless marriage with a wife who's not happy until, like, she wants a bigger job in Los Angeles, and she's in New York, and they don't really talk, and also he's not... He doesn't really experience any, like, major things that will ever, like, train him, because he can't experience something big before Nakatomi Plaza.
No, he can't rise to the occasion before Nakatomi Plaza happens.
No. Like...
So he's just going to be a regular cop on the street?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get the appeal of that. Like, why go back? We saw this character. This is where he became John... Like, it's where he became a hero.
Yeah, he becomes the hero in the midst of the movie. So you have to go before he becomes the hero. But, like, so then he's just a dude. He's just a guy going about his life, being, I assume, quite a good cop, and being, like, good at catching criminals, but also, like, nothing spectacular.
Yeah. I don't... Who... Like, this one feels really desperate as a prequel. Like, maybe they just had a cop script thrown around and they're throwing Die Hard on it. But, like, John McClane also isn't, like... massive in the first, in any of the diehards, to be fair. Like,
no.
So, but they're not going to cast the fucking dude who plays Reacher as John McClane, are they?
No, that seems a bit strange. Also, in this article there, right, like, a diehard prequel could shine a light on how McClane became a gruff and tough man audiences meet in the film. And
we meet him! Some people are just like these things.
Also, he's separated from his wife, and he's also really anxious, probably, and awkward going to that Christmas party for her new job, which is a really human thing, and he's obviously probably not in the best mood. And then it starts off with him finding out, oh, she uses her maiden name in the office, so that's why he's a bit grumpy, because he's like... If we're going to break it down, and we're not breaking down the whole plot of Die Hard, but he's, like, heartbroken. He's like, he was coming to, like, save Christmas, and
it's
realized
Christmas Eve and this
happens.
Yeah,
he's fucked
him.
It.
Like, and also, wild to have a Christmas party on Christmas Eve, but...
It's a bit much. But, yeah, look, a prequel to Die Hard, I think... It might be one of the worst ones we've heard from
it's
a long
so
time.
So unnecessary. I would prefer you remake it. Like,
remake Die Hard, but worse, rather than do a prequel.
Because Die Hard, it also... Because I watched it over Christmas. It feels like all of this happened, you know? Like, I know it's ridiculous and larger than life, but it's also like, oh, no, this is believable.
Like, and also, have you seen the thing of how did this movie get made? And the one on Die Hard? And, like, it shouldn't make any sense whatsoever. There's no reason that movie should be good. And yet... It's like, through a million tiny choices just created this thing, and it was just like lightning in a bottle that they could never recapture.
No, just everything went right. I will say Die Hard 3, pretty good.
Die Hard 3 is very, very strong.
Yeah, I like that. Die Hard 4, not very strong.
Not good. 2, also not great. But
not
3
great.
And 1, very strong.
And then 5... Really not good.
Not good at all, because they forgot all the things. They just do quips.
He
kills 100 people and quips.
It's, I don't know. It's never going to be as successful or popular as Die Hard.
It's not going to make any money either. I don't know why they think people care.
Like, it might make slightly more than it costs to make. But don't make
we don't care about money in terms, but the studio themselves who greenlight these ideas, somebody in a suit is like... We think this is going to make more money than us just doing a good movie based around a young detective.
Yeah. Like, just make a good movie. Just make one. Just a while.
Just start with one and we'll work our way up. Also, more news, Sean, I wanted to touch on. Warner Brothers Discovery is reportedly in talks to merge with Paramount. Fantastic.
Great. Just let one company own everything. Let's
David Zaslav, take it over.
David Zaslav is now just like, I want out. I want to sell this bish.
No. He's surely buying Paramount rather than selling Warner Brothers to Paramount.
I don't know. Have you seen Warner Brothers recently?
Well, true. Discovery is worth $29 billion. Sorry, Warner Brothers Discovery is worth $29 billion, and Paramount is only worth $10 billion.
Right.
So technically, yes, Warner Brothers are buying them out. Well, they're merging.
Yeah, it's a merger.
Yeah, but like, what, one is three times more expensive than the other.
Look, just keep making the. Just give Matt Reeves whatever he wants. Okay.
Zaslav, you can fuck everything else about, right?
Yeah.
Set fire to everything else, but between you and me, if you fuck up the Batman 2, I'm not going to be happy.
I will do damage if that gets messed with.
It's the only thing you've done right, like, so long.
And I feel like there's got to be just people, like, he goes to turn into the shooting stage for the Batman. And everyone's just like veering him away.
Yeah, no, like, they're like giving him fake signs and like fake turtles to get him to turn back around.
They're painted on the side of a fucking green screen.
They're nothing to see here, because they just don't want him and Matt Reeves in the same area because he might rub off on Matt Reeves.
We can't have that.
No,
But this is I saw someone say this and was just like, oh, okay. So I had a HBO Max subscription. Which also was, turned into a Warner Brothers... I had a Warner Brothers subscription, which turned into a HBO Max subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Which then, now it's going to be a Paramount subscription and a HBO Max subscription? Or for the same content? You know, if both things are merging...
Oh, yeah, well...
These streaming services that they were desperate to set up are now just defunct.
So what they're just going to do is, and I think... Look, I'm just going to try to rack my brain. They're probably going to create this thing called cable. And what you could do is you could probably buy a certain package and it gives you all of the streaming services in a channel form. And so as a remote, you could, flick through the channels and find whatever you want.
Okay, keep going.
And maybe then through that cable... Mm-hmm. You could pay a set fee for all of them at once.
Oh, so you wouldn't have to have 18 different direct debits coming out of your account every month.
You'd have one direct debit for all of them.
Right.
It would catch on, but I think that's what they're launching.
I think people like too much choice.
People like to spend more money on 18 different things than except for one thing.
It's really dumb and stupid, isn't it? And
I'd actually rather spend. I'd rather spend $15 a month on 10 different things than spending $70 a month on one thing that has all 10 of them.
And also, Prime is going to show you ads now.
That's good, isn't it?
Isn't that great?
I just watch the TV.
Future's a nightmare.
I just wanted to touch on that. All the studios are buying each other out until eventually we'll just have Disney and Warner Brothers, that's all there will be.
You want to go out and watch a Disney, or do you want to stay in and watch a Disney?
Makes me sad. Okay, we're making jokes because I'm sad about it. That's why.
Oh yeah, if we take it seriously for even a second.
Oh no, it'll obviously ruin our day. So Sean, moving on, MCU style Super Smash Bros. Movie has reportedly been pitched because obviously this year Super Mario's Super Mario Bros. Movie made over $1 billion, made a lot of fucking money.
Big boys.
Big boy money. It was the second most successful movie of the year in terms of revenue. And so what immediately happened after that is Illumination, the studio who made all that stuff, have basically been pitching the idea that the next movie should be obviously a team-up movie, or pitching a team-up universe of some kind.
None of this is a selling point anymore. Like, I'm actively like, oh, I'm fucking sick of this.
Actually, it's a really unique dynamic in that, 15 years ago, team-ups were fascinating because nobody did them. And now that everybody does them, as an audience, I feel like people enjoy more when it's like one character that we can concentrate on.
The Batman was really good, wasn't it?
We've mentioned that so many times in this one episode. Did you watch it recently?
I did, yeah. I watched it over Christmas.
When did you watch it?
Over Christmas.
Yes!
It's really good. Like, and I was watching it again and I was just like, this is phenomenal. And it's one character.
It's just
there's also multiple characters in there.
Yeah.
It just tells a complete story.
And what about a team up? Maybe him and Superman could have been in the same movie.
No, I don't want that.
Why don't we just do a good Superman movie?
I don't know. It's doing it for the sake of it that I don't like. You know, just being like, hey, team ups are big. Let's do a team up.
A Super Mario Smash, like a Super Smash Bros. Feature would be like a bit of a spin-off. So like you have Kirby and Zelda and Pokemon is in that, isn't it, as well?
It is so indeed. You'd Kingdom have Hearts is in there.
Kingdom Hearts
Final
is in
Fantasy.
There.
Fantasy.
Like,
Solid
you could
Snake.
Include them all in. So you would get a big bag of fucking well-known IPs. That's what they want. And they want them all in the same trailer at the same time. But would that work?
I mean, they're like...
Yes, I suppose.
You need... Okay. I don't know if anyone else played this. People definitely did. Super Smash Bros. Brawl, the Subspace Emissary, is a story mode for a Super Smash Bros. Game on the Wii, and it's class. And you're never going to do better than that. So why try?
But they also... I think there must be some legs in this. Now, I don't want to shit on this because, naturally, if you're Illumination and Nintendo, this is the obvious next step. If a Super Mario Bros. Movie does incredibly well, well, the next step is, okay, who else can we throw in that gets us to the next level?
A very good use of next level, by
Thank
the way.
You. But, like, I mean, Zelda is there. They're going to be working on a live-action Zelda movie as well.
See, Jack Black is in the Minecraft movie.
He's in the Minecraft movie. So video games now are going to be, like, being brought in because they get to do new movies again.
Are we old men? Is this what's happened over the course of this? Because I'm just like, I'm shaking my fists at a cloud here. Where I'm like, this is terrible.
I don't know, because, like, I think we really like movies. But I also like video games. And I like when they're not just the same things.
I think they're separate mediums for a reason.
You can do different things with each medium.
Yeah, exactly. And that's fine, and that's allowed.
Mm.
But same like there's only certain things that can be done in animation. Not everything that's animated should be in live action Disney.
For example, Sean, you came around to my house around Christmas. Yeah. We played Baldur's Gate, the first one, not the good one.
Not the good new one that everyone talked about.
We played the 2001 Baldur's Gate 2-player campaign mode. Lots of fun. We had
really
a lot of fun.
Really fun.
We got like a good 4 hours into that. We powered on through. But... Yeah. Do you want that as a movie?
No, I would rather play it again.
Or Baldur's Gate 3, the most successful game of the year last year, and this year, I suppose, already. So, I mean, do you want that as a movie? Or is that better just in its medium, even though it has success in one thing?
Part of the thing with games is that you get the experience of it. You are in control and you're experiencing these things as they happen. Whereas a movie, it's like a third person effect of like, oh, I'm watching someone else play Mario Kart, you know, which can be entertaining, but I don't think it hits as heavy.
Now, but here's the thing, though, like I do understand this logic that if I did a Super Mario movie that was animated and it made $1.3 fucking billion or whatever it made, like my next step is we're doing this again, like. Obviously, we're doing this again because even if we make half that, we're still making a lot of money.
True. And money, like, at the end of the day, it is a business.
Oh, I'm trying to think of how they're thinking of it. So, like, the more characters they throw in, the more likely it is a kid sees it and goes, oh, I know that character, let's go see that movie.
Yeah. You don't really need to market for these movies either. Like all
no,
the
they sell by themselves.
Yeah, everyone knows. My granny knows who Mario is. Like,
yeah, and so I mean, I think this could be good. It could, well, it'll be fine. But it's... Yeah.
It's, I think, just it could be popular.
It could be popular, yes. That's a good way to put it. So it hasn't been announced officially, but, I mean, keep an eye on this, because, like, you'll have lots of these characters coming back, and then they can just throw in as many of those characters as they want into this. And you would definitely watch this if they include Kingdom Hearts in the movie. You would be, like, all into that.
Yeah, because then we'll just have to address some of the Kingdom Hearts lore, which I think would be fascinating.
And I want to touch on, we're going to touch on our awards that we gave out for 2023 in the Patreon Hangout, and also just talk about some movies coming up, Sean. But I wanted to touch on some news that, once again, I have included because I think you'll like. Dwayne Johnson reportedly eyed for the Jack Frost remake. Yes!
The Jack Frost... boy's dad turns into a snowman.
Yes.
That's why. Nothing's wrong with that movie. Just watch that.
Michael Keaton's pretty good at it. He plays Jack Frost.
It's Snow Dad's better than No Dad. Like, it's a classic.
Is that the line on the poster?
That's on the lines, yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, my dad's a snowman. Oh, I guess I won't kill him then.
Well, I guess I won't kill him with hammers.
Because the bully doesn't have a dad.
Yeah.
And he'd love a dad even if he's made of snow.
That's the plot of, if you haven't seen Jack Frost, for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, it's a movie that came out, I think, in like 2001, maybe 1999, somewhere around there.
Like fake snowman animation. No, 98.
I think it's 98. And it includes Michael Keaton, and he's the dad, and he dies in a car crash on Christmas Eve. However, he has a magic harmonica that the little boy puts into a snowman that he makes that reanimates him as that snowman. And then Michael Keaton just voices the snowman as he gets up to hijinks with his son, because now they're bonding, because they never bonded when he was alive.
Yeah, because he's a famous rock star.
Mm.
And his name is actually Jack Frost as well.
That's true.
So why put Dwayne The Rock Johnson in this?
Just cash in?
As the dad. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I think this is definitely one of those where they were like just throwing things at a dartboard. They're like, Dwayne Johnson could do, we need him to do a Christmas movie. What could we do? Muppets? No, that's ridiculous. Jack Frost, probably. Jack Frost.
What license expires soon? Like,
yeah.
I don't buy him as a dad who loves his kids.
That is a terrible thing to say. Of course he loves his kids.
I'm sure he loves his kids. I just don't think he can act like he loves other kids. What is this? What's the point of this? Why do this again? It's not going to get better.
I just genuinely take so much joy, especially over the Christmas, because it was quiet.
Yeah. Right?
Because obviously nobody's going to announce something Christmas Eve. Makes no sense. So I thought it'd be very fun for our January edition just to basically try to annoy
give
you.
Give me an aneurysm.
And maybe get you to give up on life.
Yeah, you're pretty close to it now. I can't fathom that. Like, also...
Think about it logically.
Yeah.
He only has to do about a quarter of the movie before he dies. Then he can do Moana voice acting for the rest of the movie. He doesn't even have to be there. You can get all that done in, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks.
He got really hurt by the fact that no one watched Black Adam or liked it.
I think that wrecked his brain. I think it really did. I think we actually hurt his feelings.
I think, yeah, he's just really insecure now, and he's like, he wants everyone to like him by playing a nice dad in a Christmas movie. Like,
and look, I'm sure he's a very nice man, I assume. He does more Make-A-Wish stuff than a lot of other people in the world, so he seems like a cool dude.
I'd do that if I had the option.
How would you go stop?
No one wants to meet me.
There's a fucking reason.
Hey now,
people get sick after meeting you.
Yeah, I just bring the vibes down.
No, but like, I think he's in a weird point in his career at the moment is Dwayne.
Yeah.
In that, like, there was a few years there where he was just like, he was gold.
He was killing it, yeah.
He was killing
it. Around about Moana time.
Yeah, like, he was absolutely just killing it. Everything he was in went up by about 300 million because he was in it.
Yeah.
And like, I think
he's the most bankable star you can.
And now Black Adam didn't make a lot of money, and I think that's confused him and his team.
Yeah, they don't know how to respond. I think the cult of The Rock has just like died down a bit and people are tired of it.
People were like, he should be president.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that, like, there was a
an element of that. In 2016, The Rock is like peak Rock.
Yes. And I feel people are, you know, a lot's happened in the world and we don't want to hear about how we just need to get up and grind anymore. Like,
we're like, sad.
We can't do that.
They're bringing out so many sequels, Dwayne.
Please. Dwayne, you don't understand.
I can't afford my rent.
Yeah.
But at least Jack Frost is coming out.
Oh, but look at all these pancakes I have to eat.
I wanted to. We want to get to our awards episode. This might be a slightly shorter episode for this month, just because there wasn't that much news there.
Yeah.
I can only talk about what's there.
And if I hear one more bad news story, I will explode.
I felt like I had a few more, and then I took them out.
He's editing mid show.
Was just like, no, I can't do that to him. He's on his last. Legs.
He's just a boy.
He might not come back. So during our listener hangout, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, every few months, so every 3 months probably, we'll probably have one around Paddy's Day as well. We have our Patreon listener hangout, in which all the patrons get a Google Meet invite, we all jump on a call, and we basically all just have some chats. Yeah. And every time we do that, we have a specific thing, like best movie, best DC movie, best Marvel movie, best DC character, just like a team.
Best podcast host.
We never win that. It's very strange. Like, you're our patrons.
We got to stop closing that category. Like,
So we always have a thing that's going on. And then other people can join the call as well. All you have to do is send in your email. It's an exclusive list, Sean, but it's the invites get sent out. Do you know what I mean?
There's ways in there.
There's ways in. But so what we decided to do at the end of last year was talk about some of the best movies from 2023, give out some other awards, and then talk about what's coming up in 2024. So I thought it might be fun, because everyone maybe listening to this wasn't on that call, I wasn't part of that chat, that we kind of just have a bit of a go over of what we discussed, what awards we gave out.
You're saying a bit of a chit chat about everything to do with film.
No, I'm not saying that.
There's a slam dunk, man.
He's already on the edge. I need to stop. I need to pull back.
You're poking the bear.
So we started off, Sean, if you remember, with our biggest disappointment of a movie of the year.
Yes, what did we agree on this
we
one?
We agreed on Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania as the biggest disappointment.
It's fine.
Sean fought till the end, but he got outvoted on that point.
Yeah, it was like 15-1 or something like that.
Goes, I think you were the only person.
I was swinging for you, Ant-Man.
So Ant-Man the Wasp got the biggest disappointment, which obviously, I mean, it was disappointing. What can we do? We had our biggest zero of the year, which is obviously the... It's an award we give out a biggest hero of the year and a biggest zero of the year. And our biggest zero of the year that we gave out was to Mr. Zaslav.
Yeah. Which I think, unanimous decision, I think, across the board.
Yeah.
Just an awful dog of a bloke.
He's ruined cinema. And he's ruined
Warner
Brothers.
And he's still doing it.
Warner Brothers used to have a name. We used to be something.
They used to be the beast. They were champions of cinema. We won't get into it. It's fine.
And then we work our way up, next level. Most grand movie of the year. Now, by grand, we mean it's fine.
It's fine. It's like, it's not, it's no one's favourite movie, but it's not offensive.
No.
It's grand.
It's grand. And so grand is the movie that you wouldn't recommend to somebody, but if they went to see it in the cinema, you'd go, what did you think? And they'd go, it was all right. It was grand.
2 hours. You know.
Passed an hour or two. You know what I mean? Went with the kids, kept them quiet for an hour or two, you know yourself.
I forgot what we picked for this one.
Shazam was picked for the most grand movie of the year.
Fair. I've still not seen it, but it's, I believe it from everything I've seen.
And our other big award that we gave out was our Best Movie Award for 2023. Now, this was a hotly contested category. We actually had multiple nominees that people put in. So we had Barbie, we had Oppenheimer, we had Cocaine Bear, of course. We had Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse and Godzilla Minus One.
I put in Moonfall again just to see if he would accept it.
I was going to, and then I realised, no, that's dumb. Moonfall should win every year, but of course it won't. Also, sorry, before we do best one, worst movie was The Flash.
Yeah.
That won the award for the worst movie of the year.
Don't think anyone's surprised by that.
No. Okay, so best movie. Sean, can you remember which one we chose? Best movie of the year?
Was it Spider-Verse did we pick?
It was Spider-Verse. So yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Cocaine Bear, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Godzilla Minus One. It was Across the Spider-Verse that came out as the winner for best movie of the year. Which, look, you can't blame us. These were all democratically voted amongst everyone.
That's it. It was a democratically non-rigged election, definitely, for sure.
I'm not even making this up.
No, it wasn't a bit. It was real. Like, people, we took votes. Spider-Verse is a great movie. A testament to everyone that worked on it. I hope they are treated better, and all animators and creative people in general are treated better.
I hope 2024 is the year where animators get treated better and CGI people get treated better.
It's the year of the union, is all I'm saying. Unionise.
All I'm saying is, lads, you should probably get fair pay for fair work. You know what I mean?
What you all do, if you all get together and agree that, hey, we won't work unless it's for this amount.
If you keep spitting on us, we can all collectively agree that we're not going to work.
Yeah.
Then so, what are they going to do?
Simple as that, you know? All we're asking is you get rid of the crying room that most offices have.
And get rid of Zaslav.
Get rid of Zaslav. That's our other one demand. Put him in a big wicker man and send him out to sea.
And so that was the award for 2023. But the excitement now comes, Sean, for 2024. A big year for movies. It looks like it's going to be a strong one. Obviously starting with February 14th, Valentine's Day. What movie's coming out on Valentine's Day? What perfectly encapsulates love?
I couldn't possibly...
Madame Web, of course.
Madame Web, Valentine's. They really don't want this to make money.
This is not going to make any money. This is Sony's next Spider-Verse movie that they're doing with Dakota Johnson starring in it. Sydney Sweeney and Celeste O'Connor are both in it as well. And she's a clairvoyant paramedic who developed the ability to see into the future.
Connor, sorry. Who cares?
Sorry. Yeah, no. You have a very fair point there, so I'm going to move on. Madame Web, coming out February 14th, nobody gives a shit. Okay. That trailer, by the way, is still one of my favourites, though. Fantastic.
Oh, it's horrendous. The YouTube views of that is hilarious. There's a real big spike where he says the thing about the jungle.
Yeah, where my mother was... looking for spider venom in the Amazon jungle.
She was working with my mother in the Amazon rainforest. Yeah. Where she was researching spiders right before she died.
But where we come up is to the main course straight away after, because March 1st of this year, June Part 2.
June to others as you would have them June to you.
Paul Atreides is making his return onto the big screen after
two, surely.
End of 2021. So, yeah, two and a half.
Yeah, two and a bit. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm buzzing for this. Like, I love Dune. It's great.
Most anticipated movie of the year, surely.
It's just, like, I think, I don't know what I ended up saying, but it's up there. It's between two for me, I'll be honest.
Yeah, yeah. If this is not good, then we have lots of questions.
If this is not good, I'm blaming Zaslav, I don't care.
But he's not involved, but it's... Because Denis Villeneuve directed it. I mean, obviously, Timothée Chalamet is the lead character. You've got Zendaya, Rebecca Ferguson, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, Stellan Skarsgård, Dave Bautista, Christopher Walken, Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, to name just a few of the people in this movie.
Cast. Like, I don't know how anyone who's seen the first one cannot be hyped for this.
Yeah. It's also meant to be longer than the first one, slightly.
Good. It deserves it.
The first one was like 3 hours, and I was like, this is the shortest 3 hours I've ever had in my life.
The breeze, the pacing's insane.
So then we also have Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, coming out on May 24th this year.
All right. It's not my biggest hype movie, but I'm fine with it.
Bad Boys 4, June 14th.
Get out of there. Don't care for that shit.
Bad Boys 3, one of the highest grossing movies of 2020, if you remember.
Came out just before everything
January.
Kicked
it off. Came out January of 2020. It got right in there. I think it made like 500 million. And it was like the second highest grossing movie of the year.
And then cinemas closed for 9 months.
Yeah. We have A Quiet Place Day One coming out this year.
Don't care.
Twisters.
You were swinging hard for Twisters in the
For Twisters. Now, if anyone doesn't know, this is based off the 1994 movie Twister. And what they've cleverly done, and you probably didn't realise this because you're dumb, Sean, is that they wrote down Twister, and then they went, Twisters. Because now there's multiple Twisters, and people are dying.
And then they turned that S into a dollar sign.
They went James Cameron style, S into a dollar sign, and they walked out. They rested their case.
So, look. This could be the moonfall of 2024, is all I'm saying.
I'm big into hype and Twisters.
I don't know why. It's a very weird hill to die on.
No, you see, Twisters, I don't think, has the charm of a moon falling as a plot.
No, it's just two tornadoes.
It's too boring. I need some sort of moon or Mars to fall out of the sky.
See, we've gone too far, you know, like these disaster movies. Twister was your classic disaster movie.
And then they decided to drop the moon on us.
Bigger and bigger and bigger until the moon's the villain.
You can't come back to two Twisters. I mean, okay, fine.
You can't bring it back down.
Yeah. July 26th.
Like The Rock making San Andreas.
Do you remember San Andreas?
Yeah.
My God.
It wasn't good.
Deadpool 3 comes out on July 26th.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be good.
Kraven the Hunter, August 30th.
Nope.
How much money is Sony going to make this year on this weird Spider-Verse?
Hey, it's weird that Kraven the Hunter is coming out closer to Halloween than Morbius did.
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense. Morbius is the spooky one.
Why not just release Morbius around Halloween? Seems logical.
Why not release Morbius again? We'll all see it, I promise.
Release Morbius again every Halloween.
Every Halloween. It's a cult classic.
Beetlejuice 2 is coming out on September 6th and not October 6th, which makes no sense as well.
Again, they're hoping it gets the legs to do 8 weeks in cinemas.
There's no way it has 8 weeks of legs in that.
Not
4 weeks of legs, surely.
Not Beetlejuice 2.
Transformers 1. It is called Transformers 1. I did not stutter. That is coming out September 13th.
Why isn't it called Transformers Prime is my only question.
It doesn't make any sense. Transformers Alpha. Now, that would be a good way to do it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Joker Folie à Deux is coming out October 4th of this year. Finally, Todd Phillips makes his grand return in the Joker universe.
And you know what? Perfect timing for the worst person you know to make a Halloween costume.
They got 3.5 weeks to make the worst thing you've ever seen.
Worst couple's costume, excuse me.
Oh, it's amazing, the worst couple's costume. Are you looking forward to Joker?
Yeah, I think it'll be a laugh. If it's anything like the first one, where I audibly giggled when the pearls fell in slow motion, I'll be happy.
I didn't giggle once in the first one.
I did, I love
it. In fact, I remember my life was sadder having gone to see it.
Yeah, you hated it out of the gate.
To be fair, I was a hater from day one. The first trailer, I was like, I don't want this. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with this. Even though I know Joaquin Phoenix is going to win an Oscar for this, I'm still a hater. That's real haterade stuff.
I think it's mad that he won an Oscar for that, but I think let him off.
Jamie Lee Curtis won an Oscar last year.
Again, that's also mad.
Seems strange. Okay. Venom 3 coming out in November 8th. Sony have 3 movies coming out this year.
Sony are making, or they're attempting to make bank, is what's happening.
Madame Web, then they're following that with Kraven, and then they're following that with Venom.
So the worst movie ever.
Yeah.
Followed by a really bad take on a character.
Yeah.
followed by the third movie of a middling Venom series.
So they're getting stronger as it goes, is what you're saying.
They're building up to a crescendo at the
building
end
up
of
the to
year.
The big team at the Venom Tree. Gladiator 2 comes out November of this year.
Han Paul is all I'm going to say.
Paul Mescal is in that. We have to back that to the end degree. So obviously it also has Pedro Pascal and Denzel Washington. So pretty strong cast.
Star-studded cast.
Ridley Scott directing.
Not as big as a cell as it used to be, but...
Yeah, but I mean, we have to support Paul.
Oh, sorry, we're going to support Paul. We're going to support Paul.
No matter what happens, Paul is going to be the greatest actor of all time. What a man. And then the thing that I really enjoy, Mufasa, The Lion King, coming out December 20th.
Live-action prequel to The Lion King following the life of Mufasa, Simba's father.
Yes.
Not for me, I'm going to say.
I didn't even like the Lion King remake because I love Lion King. I actually am a big fan of the original Lion King. So when they said we're remaking the movie but making it look worse, I thought, bold strategy, Cotton, let's see if it pays off. And it did not pay off, but it technically did. They made a lot of money. Not a good movie.
No, just take all the colour and magic out of a,
yeah, drain
a childhood
grayer,
story.
Grayer.
I
didn't even have Elton John on flames on the keyboard when they were doing it. I mean, what's the point?
What's the point? What are we doing here?
It'd be like remaking Tarzan without Phil Collins. What are we doing? The soundtrack is half the crack.
Now look, some of those Tarzan movies are okay. The Brendan Fraser. No, that's George of the Jungle I'm thinking
that's
of.
That's George
Never
of the
mind.
Jungle. Tarzan, you have Skarsgård Tarzan.
Skarsgård, yeah.
That's Skarsgård. That's fine. But I mean, Phil Collins basically set fire to his own fucking piano, making that original
true.
One.
There was no need for that to happen, that's
no
true.
No need. And lastly, Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, not yet dated. No release date. Originally was meant to be this year. We don't know anymore.
No, but I want... I'm very much looking forward to that. And I want them to pay and treat their animators and staff correctly, please.
So it might not even come out this year, but which is more intriguing to you? Dune 2 or Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse?
I think Spider-Man because I don't know how that story's going to end. But
Dune, that's a good point.
Dune, I'm really in it for the spectacle of just like, I'm really looking forward to enjoying that movie.
Do you know what's weird is thinking of Dune 2 and even Spider-Man, it's one of those things where like you feel going in, you're not worried about quality. Like,
yeah.
With Dune 2, I'm like, I'm going in to experience this because I know it's going to be good.
Yeah, you're not clocking in to see, is it as bad as people think?
Whereas, like, I'm going to have that feeling the same way with Spider-Man or Spider-Verse, and then I'm also going to have that probably with the Batman 2, which I'm like, it's Matt Reeves.
This is going to be a good few hours.
The worst is going to be is 8 out of 10, and that gives you a solid set of, okay, this is I'm going to settle in here.
Yeah. It's like sitting down to watch The Dark Knight back in the day.
Yeah.
And you were just like, this is going to be good.
It's not going to be bad.
Yeah, it's hardly going to be bad. Even Rises is fine.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's it for this month's Movie Monthly, Sean. I think a very negative little boy was Sean Mean this month.
Hey,
but
now.
What can we do?
What do you mean this month? This is my bit. This is what you have forced me into, this corner you've painted me within.
What a day. We're just waiting for March 1st, and then we can go happily and skip to the cinema.
Yeah, and then... That'll be a whole other kind of show.
I have a question for you, live on air.
You're going to watch?
We review a Madame Web.
We'll do it on the Patreon when it comes out on streaming. I don't want to go to the cinema for that.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
Want to take us out, Chad?
Yeah, thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Movie Monthlies. We'll be back on Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, Friday with Hero or Zero. And then next month with another episode of Movie Monthlies. Big thank you to everyone over on Patreon who continues to support the show. Patreon.com/Heroes for Hire podcast. If you want to check out all of our reviews and stuff we have over there, there's hundreds of hours of content, so plenty to keep you busy in the meantime. Shout outs go to Roisin and Baby Ben Palmer, Joe Burney, Ryan Komatsu, Dozer Enthusiast Evanson, Waffles Loves You and Hopes You Have a Good Day, David Clark, Sean Chuckling in the Wash and It'll Be Grand Jamieson, Dominic, Anna Irish Walrus Forever, and congrats, Roisin. Roisin on your baby, Helm Roos, Danny McLaughlin, Lord Smish, Michelle Brown, Michaela Doughty, Frost kind of wants to hear the proposal story, that's on the Patreon as well for what it's worth, Ed Ball, Connor and Lorraine are debating which is cuter, Sean's proposal in Japan or Connor's proposal on the Pelp, again, Patreon,
Probably Connor's.
I am taking a break from the demanding anecdotes to also shout out baby Ben Palmer. Hey Ben, parfait. Jackson Bruheim is honoured to be picked as Sean's replacement and has already claimed his parking space. Liz had a few too many on St. Paddy's Day and Tipsley subscribed to the Patreon. Kira Lawler, George Lahey, The Amazing World of Keza, Kyle Borowski, Rory screamed when he was responded to on Twitter, and Sean subbed to the Patreon after 10 creamy pints. Thank you all so much for your support. We really, really appreciate it. There are other ways to support the show other than the Patreon. There's heroesforhire.ie/shop is our merch store. Twitter is at heroesforhirepod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Divilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just the one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I will cut it all up.
I've been Sean Bean.
I shall see you all next month, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.